This was recorded at the American Council of the Blind of Ohio Conference and Convention on Saturday, November 16th, 2013. A big thanks to Nolan and Valerie Crabb.
Welcome to Emergency Preparedness 101, if you will, designed to help you understand what stuff you need to get you through a three-day period of real difficulty, whatever that may be. Maybe there's a collective emergency in your community that is causing you to have to stay where you are. The preparedness folks refer to that as bugging in.
Is there a laptop you need hooked up?
Or maybe there's a circumstance that arises that causes you to need to leave in a big hurry. And whatever that circumstance is, you may need to be able to grab something that you can get out of your place with quickly, but that will keep you alive for 3 days until FEMA or some other group can provide additional food, additional water, additional whatever. So this class today, you're actually going to build at your various tables an emergency preparedness kit. My wife, Valerie, has built these over a period of almost 30 years. We built these for our family for forever. And then we sort of eat them after a period of several months because that's what you want to do. You don't want old, outdated garbage in your kit to make you sick, which makes the emergency even worse.
Yeah.
So about once every 6 months or a year, you're going to want to eat your way through this thing. And that's kind of fun, too. We pick a weekend every October and April and just sort of see how we do, trying to stay alive on this for 3 days. What will not happen to you with this kit is that it will not provide you with that satiated feeling that you've just come out of a Texas Longhorn or a Outback or a Lone Star Steakhouse. None of that's going to happen to you. What this does is basically gives you the essentials to keep you alive.
I just read this book about Marie Osmond, and she said she watched a news program and people were trying to get out after like a fire or something, and she thought it was very interesting what people took in the emergency. And they found that most men took electronics and women took like pictures and sentimental things, you know, like your kid's baby blanket from clear back when or whatever and stuff. And so these kits are first, you did it. If there's an emergency, it needs to be in a place that you can grab it easily and bring out, you know, with you. And basically it's like boxes of juice and chocolate milk, granola bars, fruit snacks, peanut butter, that kind of stuff. So on the tables, we have four tables and three kits, and so we will kind of pass one so that all tables can see it and have a chance. So pass, you can find a plastic kit container for your kit. We picked these out. We found these at the Container Store, and we found that they were very handy because they have two handles, and they were very sturdy. That you could put there's Braille on it saying what it is on the outside, so if you'll pass those around so we can see, you can pick whatever's convenient for you. We've done them in milk cartons before. We've done them in all kinds of different things. Whatever works, you can do it in a backpack if you want. The thing is, you want to make sure that it can keep dry, and then, like Noel said, you need to rotate it. So once everybody sees the kit, we're gonna put it together, and inside, there's a plastic bag on each of the tables that's got the ingredients, and they're all Braille for those that need Braille. And so I'll tell you what's on the list, and I'll have you look through your bag and put them inside.
One of the advantages of these particular containers is that you can handle them with one hand if you have a dog or a cane. We deliberately picked the kind that you can use one hand with, and otherwise you're going to have a world of trouble if you're trying to drag a container and try to deal with your dog or your cane as well. These containers all came from the Container Store here in Columbus. They're probably the most expensive part of this kit. The whole thing will probably cost you around $70 to construct completely, and that includes your container. You'll notice that she said that I've railed on the container, both on the lid and on the front of it. so that you have some references to what's there.
The first thing you want to do is you want to put your heavy stuff on the bottom. That's what I suggest, so that you don't crush your crackers and stuff like that. There should be 3 berry and 3 apple and put them in your kit. So you should have a total of 6 8-ounce boxes.
These kits, how many people do
one.
One individual.
One. You need one.
This is yours for 3 days.
And there's enough room once it's filled up. If you have a guide dog, you can put dog food in it, or if you think, dude, I'm a bigger eater than that, you can put extra food in there. Or you can tailor it to what is the, you know, like your preference. So if you don't like peanut butter crackers, then you can change it to like cheese crackers or, you know, extra tuna fish instead of peanut butter if you don't like peanut butter. That kind of thing. So you can tailor it to what you need. And another thing I suggest is if you have medications or prescriptions, that you also make sure that those are available to be easily taken with you. We put in a package of cookies. If you put in gum, which we put in before mint gum, in the past, it might flavor your crackers a little bit over time in a sealed container. Give it a kind of a minty taste. So, you know, if you don't mind that, that's fine. But, you know, our kids didn't think that was too cool. Okay, does everybody got all their juices in there?
Yes.
Okay, thanks. Then we need 3 boxes of Yoo-hoo, or chocolate milk, white milk, but we have Yoo-hoo in your guys'.
And again, these are all braille, and they have dates on them as to when these were filled. It's crucial when you build your own kit that you do something similar to this so you know your dates and you know how long that stuff's been in there.
One thing we've done in the past is we thought, we'll see how what it tastes like to live on it for a couple days and see if we really liked it or if we needed more food. And so it's kind of, and then you use it up, you know, that way. Now, there should be 2 chocolate chip granola bars somewhere on your table. Now, like I said, if you don't like chocolate chip, you can get whatever other flavor you want. You know, but if you like fancy or if you don't like the chewy, you like the hard, you can tailor this to whatever is your preference. Okay, there should be 5 peanut butter or cheese crackers, or peanut butter crackers. 6 fruit roll-ups. One thing I didn't tell you is divide it up by day. So on the sheet that's in the kit, it'll say on day 1, you get 1 milk, 2 juice, 1 granola bar, 2 fruit roll-ups, and go down the list. So you could divide it how you want, but this is just a suggestion. 5 trail mix. Okay, then the raisins are our next thing, and this will maybe a little complicated because one of your kits is a little different. There should be 5 raisins, and one kit has got a little. Some have mini boxes and large boxes, and some have more large than mini. So all the raisins go in the kit. So basically, it's 7.5 ounces of raisins. 5 little tubs of peanut butter. They're little round tubs with a full top. There should be 5 of those. This is crunchy peanut butter in this kit, but if you like smooth, go for smooth. 1 can of tuna fish. There's a 3-ounce can. It's a full top. That's one thing. If you put any canned stuff in there, you need to put in a full top or put in a can opener. So if you decide, I want something like fruit cocktail or something like that, make sure you buy the kind with the full top. There's just one day that's on this list it calls for tuna fish, but if you really like tuna fish, put in 1 for every day, you know. Kind of mold it to your liking. Okay, then there's 7 beef sticks. And if you don't like beef sticks, then put in more tuna fish or more peanut butter. Yeah, and if you like bigger ones, if you like really like beef sticks, go for the big ones. Okay, 1 package of cookies. So one day you can treat yourself. They suggest like first, because if you have to use your emergency kit in an emergency, you might be kind of stressed, so you want that extra treat. Whether you want like a few pieces of hard candy to suck on, cookies, gum, whatever. Like I said, though, if it's a mini gum, it might flavor a little bit, not too much, but it might give a little bit of a flavor if you keep it very long. There is a Ziploc bag that has 18 wet wipes, So there's one for each meal, plus three extra per day. And then there's a fork, a spoon, and a knife. And it should be labeled also, saying what's in it. We also need two packages of graham crackers. Put those in your kit. It calls for a third of a pound. These I got at Target. They're like in small little, you get six in a box. If you wanted to, though, you could buy a big box that doesn't have individually packaged. You could put them in Ziploc bags or some kind of Tupperware container. Okay, there's a box of Neosporin in case you cut a finger or skin a knee.
What if you're allergic to it?
If you're allergic to it, then you find something to replace it.
Like tracing the spray?
Yeah, anything that, you know.
These are all just samples.
These are samples. Yeah. This is what we would use,
it's
but
not
if you,
hard and fast.
Yeah, if you're allergic to it, definitely do not put it in. Yeah, same with any kind of food or anything like that. Okay, assorted bandages. There's like round ones and, you know, regular size bandages and stuff like that. One thing you might want to add is like some aspirin or an acid or something like that. Then you just put your lid on and your kit is ready to go. And then you need to put it in a place that's easy to access to go out the door in an emergency. Okay, you should have water. Nolan's going to talk about water too. And there is room to add a bigger bottle of water, you know, one of those long skinny ones, in your kit if you wanted to. I would suggest you have a copy of your menu or something in your kit so that you can kind of see how they divided, how you can divide it up, or divide it up so that you're not going to eat everything off one day and think, oh man, I managed poorly, I was starving on the first day, and then I don't have anything for the third day. So it can kind of help you as a guide.
Yeah.
Question?
Could you mention, for people who maybe listen to this later, don't have the advantage of seeing the kits, again, where the package, the box came from, and if there's a model or part number?
The box came from the Container Store. So this is actually the medium size of this box, like 12 by 10 by 12 or something like that.
It's about 4.
But it's the medium size.
By 11.
14 and a half by 11.
There you go.
Okay.
And if you find some other container you like better, that's great. I thought these were really cool because the handles, you could use it if you had a guide dog.
Yeah. 9 inches tall.
We seen one at Walmart, what was cheaper, but you had to buy six at a time. And I don't think it would be as sturdy as this one. You know, you want something that's sturdy that will keep it near food dry and keep any kind of little bugs from whatever, you know. Here.
Yeah.
Out somewhere.
What we're going to pass out now and... These need to actually go inside the kits. This is a braille handout and a large print handout of the actual stuff you packed. What do you think is missing? Let me ask you that.
Medication.
Okay, let's talk about those two items.
Blanket.
You're right. When we put this together, we realized that there were multiple versions of these out there. We took this from the website of a family in Texas who builds them and has gotten quite proficient with it. But there are multiple versions of this out there. You can go, even FEMA.gov has a section on 72-hour kits. I believe ProvidentLiving.org, which is the Mormon Church's site, has a section on how to build these. You do a search for these and you'll get multiple versions. The reason I picked this one is that it seemed to be the most complete overall. And some of you pointed out that some things are missing. You're right. Missing from this is a blanket, some sort of cover. And that's very true. We focus on food because you have to stop somewhere. Otherwise, then this becomes impractical. What you can do is procure a separate backpack for things like one of those space blankets or reflective blanket that will get you spotted if you need to be. Or something warm that'll keep you warm. So you're right, the blanket is missing. Ideally, if you're going to survive for 3 days and keep yourself reasonably clean, you really need between 3 and 5 gallons of water. That'll get you drinking water, and that'll get you cleaned up, at least the quick kind of cleanup. You're not going to obviously shower, but that'll get you a quickie, if you'll forgive me for putting it that way, under adverse circumstances. You also need to keep about $20 in that kit, my friends, because one of the things that is most characteristic in an emergency, and people who survived Hurricane Sandy will tell you this, people who survived Hurricane Katrina will tell you this, they will tell you that one of the first things that goes, in addition to your cell phone, is the ATM dies. Not going to get the ATM. You need cash, you're not going to be able to get at it easily.
Right.
And so you do want to keep a little of that on hand, maybe inside these kits or in a safer place, whatever works for you. I cannot stress strongly enough the importance of labeling what you put in. It's a hassle. It took us about 2 hours to do all these labels and build them the other day. Why do you do it? Because you need to know when it's dated, and you need to know when to throw out or eat what you've got. The other thing that's missing in here is batteries. We didn't want to create a circumstance where this was so horrendously heavy that it was no longer viable as a portable, grab-and-go kind of a product. But you need batteries if you're going to take with you a small weather radio or some sort of small FM or other kind of communication radio unit. You know, a ham operator, you're going to maybe need some other kind of tools with you if you need to communicate. Maybe family radios, whatever your circumstance is. So this is not absolutely rock hard complete, but it will keep you alive. That's the key to this. Your goal is to stay alive for the 72-hour period before someone somewhere can finally get to you and find you.
Nolan?
Yes.
Another thing is a good pair of walking shoes.
Absolutely.
Because I did a kit for California because of the earthquake.
Mm-hmm.
For school, they had the thermal blankets like you use the space blankets, but they also said keep a pair of clothes that look like you don't have anything. Because if you look like you're dressed up like you are today, you could be somebody go after you.
Somebody work you over good.
So you just have kind of stuff you wouldn't care if you lost it.
Right.
Put it in there too.
Make sure that you do have some clothes and shoes in a separate backpack or go bag.
Yeah.
But again, we had to stop somewhere. We focused on the food piece. Why 72 hours? Well, most of the time that's about what it's going to take for somebody to get to you. If you're holed up, you can't get out. 72 hours, some services get restored. By then, FEMA has got to town. By and large, Christian and Jewish and other Islamic services have gotten into town with their stuff. The Latter-day Saints have trailer trucks in virtually every city in the nation that are loaded for and ready to roll within 1 hour of any kind of a disaster or emergency in those cities. And so supplies can be gotten out via those methods. And among those groups, eventually you're going to get service and you're going to get some help. But it won't be immediate. How many of you have been involved in evacuation plans at work where they said, "You just sit tight, honey, and we'll come get you. Don't go, don't leave the, we're gonna come get you out of it. It'll be okay." And I've had Amtrak people do the same thing. "You just stay right here, we're gonna get you off it. Forget about you." They their intentions are great. The same is true with this. Don't assume that somebody from somewhere is going to instantly and automatically help you out. Now maybe they will. Maybe you'll be able to instantly get help on day one, and you can throw that kit out or just let it float down the whatever, and you're not, it's no longer an issue for you, but you don't know that for sure. These products are nutritious. Their goal is to provide real basic nutrition, and that's what you need to stay alive for that period of time. You get weak, you get sick, you then exacerbate your emergency. Sea Crane Company has small weather radios. That's ccradio.com. You can buy these small weather radios. I mentioned them because they do provide an accessible catalog. It's on their site. It's quite usable. They're not cheap. They're out there, and if you need a weather radio, that would be good.
Nolan, what does a small one run?
Oh, I think 25.
That's what I was thinking.
Or so, dollar.
Yeah.
And small is, go ahead, Lynn.
One omission is medications and testing supplies.
Yeah.
For people that need that.
Absolutely, yeah. If you know you have diabetes, for crying out loud, folks, find a way to put your supplies in there. Or a can of Coke, if you think you're going to need a can of Coke, or whatever it is you would need to bring yourself back to the brink. What is this going to cost you to build yours from scratch? Valerie, probably neighborhood of 60, 70 bucks?
Probably not that much.
Well, not even that much, she says. The container was probably the biggest piece of this. What did we pay for these containers?
Like
$14. Yeah, about $14 a piece. Yeah. But again, if you would prefer a backpack, the only reason I caution you against that is that moisture gets in there or little buggies, you've compromised your emergency supplies.
Yeah,
and you can get squished stuff and moldy. It doesn't take long for your food to mold if it's gotten wet or whatever. So you might want to keep a sturdy, dry container, especially if you're a dog user and you need to put food in there. And it's inevitable that you will.
How did you label things?
I used a Perkins Brailer.
Okay.
And some sheets of labels that I bought from Universal Low Vision Aids that are about $1 a sheet. And they're not cheap, but I only used, three sheets for all of those.
Okay.
Maybe four.
Okay.
These are for use in a Braille embosser. So they're going to have the little smurgles on the side, the little holes that you would normally feed through a Braille embosser if you're trying to produce plastic Braille. But these also work great in a Perkins. Your problem is getting someone with some vision to cut out for you, because I'm no good with scissors.
That works.
You could, but you have to cut between the lines.
Yeah.
And that's...
The idea is a Dymo labeler.
The Dymo labeler would be fine also. The only concern I have with Dymo is that it may curl a little bit eventually.
Yeah.
And it gets, because that tape is really thick. Staples and Office Max also sells, or Office Depot rather, also sell some laminating type stuff, clear plastic sheeting that you can roll inside of Perkins and make your Braille that way. So any of that will work as long as you can read the Braille. Label them any way you like. I did some obsessive weird stuff with this. I used Unified English Braille. You label it however you like, and use whatever abbreviations you want, but be careful with your abbreviations because you may not know what they are when you're stressed out.
Right.
What the heck's a pea cracker? Peanut butter cracker. Oh, okay, I guess I can eat that. That's safe. So don't get too clever for yourself.
Okay.
Go ahead, please.
You put the date on each individual item?
I do, and I did. I guess you don't have to.
Can you just put it on the container?
You could. But again, you got to grab that bag and run. What you want to avoid is a circumstance where you have new peanut butter mixed with old, really crummy peanut butter, that kind of stuff. So just for safety's sake, we did date each item. And again, pick a weekend every 6 months and eat your way through it. Pretend that something horrendous has happened and you're bugging into your apartment or your house, and you're going to actually eat your way through this kit. As I said, Valerie and I do it when we have them, we do them every October and every April. Our church has an annual world meeting during those months that it televises, the first weekend of those months. And so we pick that weekend to sort of eat the kit.
Eat the kit.
And see how it does, how did it taste.
Right.
How full are you? Were you dizzy, weak, hungry? And you'd be surprised how full you can get on these things. I know it doesn't look like much, but...
that's what you got this.
It is what you have. And in an emergency, you're not going to be up exercising. You're probably not on your treadmill because the power isn't there.
Right.
You're kind of bugging in, tuned to the radio, hoping everybody else is okay and hoping that you can get out of or whatever that situation, whatever it may be. Not trying to scare you with this class, folks. That's not our intent. Golly, if you're not prepared, you really do run the risk of potential failure.
Right.
So you want to try to be prepared. Other questions?
Can you talk a little bit about those with dogs? Maybe I know grab food, but is there anything else we might want to grab, like anything for their, to keep up their paws? Or?
Again, we didn't include that in here, but you could. These kits are big enough that you could add not only food, but perhaps if you know that the dog may be exposed to some toxic stuff out there, and an emergency can bring that on.
Broken glass?
Broken glass, debris of some horrendous kind.
Right.
So if your guide dog school issues those boots, you might want to pack some boots. You might want to pack some dog medications, get some basic cleaners, and make sure you have ear cleaners. If these guiding eyes folks are out here today, that's where I got my dog, and they're going to chase me later if I don't mention having some way to make sure your dog's ears are clean. But yeah, if you have ear cleaner, put that in there and some gauze. And there's room. You know, that's the beauty of this particular container. Mm-hmm. Obviously, your dog's medications, if he or she needs it. Do you want to put a Furminator in there? I don't guess. By golly, I might put some Frontline or some kind of flea killer, depending on the kind of emergency I'm faced with. Because you don't know what's going to happen. Those are just some thoughts.
Nolan?
Go ahead, please.
This is Shirley.
Yes.
I guess another thing I thought about, just as an alternative for the labeling, too, mm-hmm. if you had a sighted person helping you put the kit together, mm-hmm. Instead of putting the dates on it, mm-hmm. the date on it that you put the kit together,
right.
you might want to have someone read you the expiration dates on the items.
Sure.
Maybe you
sure, that's another way to do it. Absolutely. And it works perfectly. Just if you know something's going to expire soon, get it out of there.
This is Jim Colmax.
Yes, sir.
And one thing I find handy is booster for your cell phone.
Outstanding.
You know, I've got one that's like twice the capacity of a cell phone battery, and it costs $20.
Brilliant suggestion.
It's also handy for like even here or on buses.
Absolutely.
You don't have to hunt for the electric outlet.
Brilliant suggestion. Yeah. So
tape or something.
Yes, you probably want perhaps some kind of tape in addition to your bandages. Maybe not. I mean, I don't know. It just depends on. I'd hate to sacrifice my food for a roll of duct tape because I can't eat that. Not really.
Nolan, you mentioned a radio, but maybe a flashlight for a sighted
person. Yes, that's crucial. Don't use candles in these kits. Get a flashlight and some good batteries. The other thing about what we've built for you, or that you know that you build yourselves today, really, is that none of this stuff requires heat to process.
Or refrigeration.
A lot of these fancy kits out there, you can go, you can buy MREs, folks,
yep.
and put in there.
Yep.
Problem with an MRE, you gotta make sure it knows how to heat itself somehow. The other thing you might wanna put in this, guys, is your hard drive, stuff you wanna save, your, you know, whatever, ladies, perhaps, as Valerie pointed out, some of your precious stuff, the kids' pictures or the little essay they did in fourth grade, or I don't know. I'm going for that electronics, but I understand how you might not.
Is it practical to put in, like, your next of kin?
Yes, that's the other thing they recommend on these sites, is that you include phone numbers in case you aren't able to provide those numbers yourself. So put a list, a piece of paper with some phone numbers in it, and explain who those people are.
What about transportation?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's nothing you can do about that for a three-day period. You know, you may not even have transportation. You may be bugged in somewhere. Even if they move you to a shelter, this kit would be of some value to you there.
Right.
To supplement whatever's coming into that shelter until you can either get out or until they can provide even more substantial material.
Right.
Again, it's a stopgap measure. That's all we've really done here today.
What do you do for transportation in case of evacuation?
Well, you know, that's an issue that's a problem in your community, in your neighborhood. You may not be able to do a whole lot. Hopefully there'll be folks there who can help you bug out of the place. Right. If there's a chemical spill or a toxic whatever, I agree with you that that's a problem.
Usually the department let them know that a handicapped person lives in their area, because if they don't know it, there's no way that they're going to come in and get you.
Your emergency personnel, your emergency department, whether it's run by your county or your municipality, keeps lists of people who need assistance, whether that is artificial ventilation or transportation assistance or mobility assistance in the case of an emergency. So if you reach out not only to your area fire department, but to your county office of emergency preparedness, you can get on that list.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to anger people in the room or politicize this, but I would also tell you don't necessarily rely on government always to help you, because it may not be able to do it. But that said, you still ought to get on the registry and make sure they know you're there.
Yeah, this is Tom Devin from Toledo.
Yes, sir.
There's a device that may help in this kit called a Leatherman tool. It does
it can go, it can have up to 60 tools on it.
Right.
And they're relatively small.
Yeah.
You can hold your hand, and they would fit perfectly in this.
It's more than, it's a Swiss Army knife on steroids kind
right.
of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And of course it's got can openers and screwdrivers and
pliers
and, everything but flares and notes to mom.
But let me reiterate.
Go ahead.
There are a couple of companies that make Leatherman-like tools. A couple are good. Mm-hmm. Leatherman makes the very best, and there are a lot of imitators.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, don't go with the imitators if you can't help it, because they tend to use cheaper steel,
right.
And they aren't as strong,
right.
And they're more likely to break.
That's right, and you don't need that in an emergency.
Yeah.
So yeah, do indeed register with your county. Make sure that they know who you are. But then work your plan such that you can be as reliant as possible on your own to whatever degree you can in the event that they just cannot get to you for a couple days.
One thing that Kitty Havner had told our group, get to know your fire, your police, your squad personnel, because they change like every so many hours.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're on shifts.
Mm-hmm.
Different people come in, different people go out. Make yourself acquainted with them.
Mm-hmm.
Let them know who you are, where you live, what your disability is, so they know something about you.
Yep. Again, we can't possibly cover every scenario in this little box.
Right.
But what we've attempted to do is give you the ability to stay alive for 3 days.
Jim. Cool.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, one thing I find very handy to have is you get it at the auto parts place for about $90.
Mm-hmm.
You know, run a CPAP for a couple of nights without
Brilliant.
But what you do beforehand, get the cigarette lighter adapter plug from your CPAP manufacturer.
Brilliant. Yes, there are people who need that, and I'm one of the folks who uses one of those devices.
Yeah,
I hadn't even thought about that, Jim.
Get.
That's brilliant. Thank you.
I've got one. You just charge it up every month or so, make sure the meter, you know.
And you got this at an auto supply as opposed to a medical supply?
That's right. Auto supply, and it's got the cigarette lighter plug in it.
Yes. For your.
You charge it off of 110.
Yes.
No, it just.
I'm just saying.
Battery pack.
I got this thing from. LLB,
right.
That was a combination type thing. It's a, well, you used to get TV channels, but it has AM, FM, mm-hmm. radio, weather channel.
Yes.
It's got a flashing red light.
Yes.
Just a regular flashlight.
Yes.
And actually, I think they have one with a cell phone charger, and it has battery and crank.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, I've seen those. And in fact, the websites that deal with 72-hour kits recommend that model from LLB as a possibility.
They're good. They're not very big. They're very lightweight.
Mm-hmm.
We got one a few years ago for about $40.
There you go.
Yeah. They're really good.
Well, any other questions?
Yeah, one other thing I have, which is good, is a battery-operated fan.
Yep.
So that will help.
That could be valuable.
That'll help you get to sleep.
Yep.
Summer night.
That's a good point. Yep.
You can also, for flashlights, a lot of places you can find small LED flashlights that are very bright.
Pretty bright, yeah.
They're well under $10.
You know, you can even use a glow stick if things get really silly and you don't have any other recourse.
Right.
Where do you suggest placement of this kit?
Somewhere where you know you can grab the heck out of it in a heartbeat when you're on your way out a door. So a hallway closet. Don't bury the thing down in the basement and then have to go down there and rummage to try to find it. Put it really close to where you have an entrance or an exit to the house so that you can get at it in a hurry if you need to get out.
Okay.
Anything else?
Awesome job.
Have you ever seen a setup for these where they use a bigger kit and do one like for a couple or something, or do they recommend?
Sure, you can use a bigger, they call them a go bag, and you know a lot of ham guys who use these stuff. They've got all kinds of connectors in it along with everything else. And
right.
So yeah, I mean, there are all kinds of iterations of this out there.
Since some of this was a little bit hard to hear, I'm going to read the list of items that we packed in the boxes on that Saturday, and then a suggested menu for each of the 3 days. Emergency kit list. Pack in airtight or moisture-proof bag. 8-ounce boxes of juice, quantity 6, 3 apple, 3 berry. 6.5-ounce boxes of white or chocolate milk, quantity 3. Chocolate chip granola bars, quantity 2. 1/3-pound graham crackers, quantity 2 packages. 1.4-ounce peanut butter or cheese sandwich crackers, quantity 5. 1/2-ounce fruit roll-ups, quantity 6. 1.25-ounce package trail mix, quantity 5. 1.5-ounce package of raisins, quantity 5. 7.5 ounces peanut butter, quantity 5, 1 1/2 ounce containers. 3 ounce canned tuna, quantity 1. 7 beef sticks. 1.2 ounce chocolate chip cookies, quantity 1. Plastic silverware, 1 fork, 1 spoon, 1 knife. Wet wipes, quantity 18. Individually wrapped. Box Neosporin, quantity 1. Assorted bandages. Suggested menu, day 1. 1 milk, 2 juices, 1 granola bar, 2 fruit roll-ups, 1 package trail mix, approximately 3 ounces of raisins, 3 ounces peanut butter, equal 2 of the small cups, 2 packages of sandwich crackers, 3 beef sticks. Day 2. 1 milk, 2 juices, 1 granola bar, 2 fruit roll-ups, 2 packages trail mix, 1 1/2 ounces of raisins, 3 ounces peanut butter equals 2 cups, 2 packages of sandwich crackers, 3 beef sticks. Day 3. 1 milk, 2 juices, 2 fruit roll-ups, 2 packages trail mix, 3 ounces of raisins, 2 packages of graham crackers, 1 package peanut butter, 1 package sandwich crackers, 3-ounce can tuna, 1 beef stick. Cookies can be saved as a snack and eaten over the 3 days. What won't fit in the container? 3 to 5 gallons of water used both for sanitation and drinking. Windproof, waterproof matches. Wool blend blanket or sleeping bag. Emergency reflective blanket. Hand warmers. Poncho. Flashlight. Knife. 50 feet of rope. This is from https://themoes.blogspot.com/2011/09/72-hour-kits.html.